And you are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of the Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotter, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, Kate Schechter is the Chief Executive Officer of World Neighbors, an Oklahoma City-based nonprofit organization. Its program espouses a long-term holistic approach to help strengthen needy communities to overcome hunger, poverty, and disease. Ms. Schechter's experience include over 22 years working for various organizations, including an international nonprofit organization focused on global health, the World Bank, a leading foundation, and several respected universities, including Columbia and Harvard. She recently returned from a trip to Burkina Faso, where World Neighbors currently works in villages as well as in Mali. She joins me live here in the studios. Hello, Dr. Schechter, and welcome to Nightline Africa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So talk to me about your trip to Burkina Faso. How did Ouagadougou treat you?
Well, I was there in 2015, and this is my first time back since then. And I have to tell you that there is palpable tension now that wasn't there 4 years ago. People are nervous. They are avoiding being gathered in front of, you know, a restaurant or a hotel. There's a lot more guards, a lot more soldiers at the airport. And in some of the areas where we work in the countryside, there are curfews now.
So is this security situation currently affecting the work you're doing there?
Well, it does affect us more, I would say, in Mali than in Burkina Faso. Luckily, we have not had any situations where villages where we work have been in danger in Burkina Faso. But in Mali, there have been some villages nearby to where we work that have been attacked. And so we've started to encourage gatherings only in areas that we think are safe.
So what has been the response, particularly in Burkina Faso, concerning the work you're doing there?
We have to continue to work, and we are continuing to work, but there's very close relationship with the municipal government and with the national government to ensure that both our staff who work out of Ouagadougou are not going on, not traveling unless there's really a sense that it's going to be okay. Looking for routes that have not been targeted, so that when they go to Mali, they often have to take a longer route, but one that we feel is safer. But luckily, in the communities themselves, we feel that people are pretty aware of how to protect themselves and are being very careful, but also continuing to do. I mean, you can't stop growing food and taking care of your livestock and, you know, just living your life.
So what impact do you think your program is having on these individuals that you work with in both Burkina Faso and in Mali?
Well, the key to our approach is to look at, as you mentioned earlier, all the needs and all the things that need to be addressed, so that when we finish working with these communities, they're able to be on their own. And that includes not just working on agriculture. Of course, you know, these are both highly agrarian societies, so we do a big focus on sustainable agriculture, and we work on water issues, making sure that they are retaining water when it rains so that they have it year round, helping them to grow crops that are more resilient so that they have food security year round. We have a type of kale that's being grown that now produces kale for 8 months out of the 12. So that we're continuing to work to find crops that are resilient and can provide for long periods of time. We do a lot of work on financial literacy, but also helping people to create their own savings and credit groups so that they're raising money themselves, loaning to each other, and amassing capital together. And that is primarily focused on women who often don't have any access to funding. And that allows them to start their own enterprises, buy small livestock, and to learn how to really expand their capacity to live better lives and get out of poverty. I think that the The main point I want to make to you today is that by creating all of this capacity, by creating this knowledge and this self-sufficiency, we're also helping young people to stay in their communities and not to necessarily, you know, sort of drift towards the main cities and then get in trouble with not being able to find work and just getting frustrated and often being tempted into groups that might offer them a salary, but in response, you know, they'll have to join some kind of fundamentalist group or worse than just a fundamentalist group. And so I think that's really one of the most important things that we're contributing right now in terms of all of this effort. Yes, it's a holistic effort to help people's lives improve, to make sure they have food, water, security, education, etc. But it's also helping people to stay in their communities, to become leaders in their communities, and to fight the scourge of terrorism.
So far, are you seeing an expansion of this program, particularly in both Burkina Faso and Mali, to areas where there's also poverty or where people need it?
Yes, in fact, that was why I went on this trip. We were very fortunate to get a grant from an organization in Oklahoma City, and we're going to be partnering with another group that works both in Mali and Burkina Faso, and the plan is to expand. One of the strategies that we use that's been very effective, World Neighbors has been around for 68 years, and it's a tried and true methodology, is to have communities teach their neighboring communities what they've learned, so that even though we're a pretty small organization and we have a pretty small staff, we use a lot of volunteers and we help create community-based organizations who basically lead the process of development. And so through that kind of organic growth, we, and with this new funding, we'll be able to really reach thousands of people in the next 5 years.
Is there also a plan to partner with other NGOs to expand this effort to improve the lives of people in otherwise in other places that you might not have gotten to, both in these countries?
Absolutely. And we're working with a group called Groundswell International, which actually is people who split off from World Neighbors and started their own organization. So we're very compatible with each other. We agree about what works and what doesn't. And by working with them, we're going to be able to reach a lot more communities. We don't overlap right now, so that makes it just that much more effective to work together. But there are other organizations, both local NGOs, but also there's a group called ProLinova, which is a network of farmers who do sustainable agriculture around the world. And we are working with them. We're working with the UN agencies that focus on food security. So we are very much in the business of looking for partners and leveraging what we do to add to what other people are doing.
What has been the cooperation or assistance from the respective governments, as well as, you know, like the community elders in helping you with what you want to achieve in the lives of these people?
That's the key. And World Neighbors never tries to work under the radar. We always have an agreement with every national government where we work. We work in 13 countries around the world. And so we both have cooperation from the national government, but more importantly from local government, municipal government, and making sure, as I said earlier, you know, keeping in touch about security issues, but also making sure that they know what we're doing and trying eventually to have the government take over some of the functions. For example, in healthcare, we're not in the business of supplying any kinds of salaries or anything like that. We want those salaries to be paid by the government, because ultimately that's where they should be coming from. And you know, in education, again, we need to tap into what is happening on the local level and help these communities to get that support from their own government, both national and local. So that's a key process that we help facilitate. But you know, unfortunately, in both countries at this point, that is not where the focus is. And so you need external organizations to come in and help with these basic social issues.
Talking about focus, do you think these governments would have the political will to at least listen to you and provide additional security to protect some of what you're doing and the individuals as well to help in entrenching the work you're doing?
Absolutely. And I've met with the governor of one of the regions where we work to talk about that very issue. I mean, it's a big concern for them. If they don't worry about that, it's their livelihoods as well that are in danger. So there is a big concern, and there is a willingness to work together. But of course, you know, resources are always the excuse for why things aren't being done.
So before we go, tell me, what are your expectations for the program, probably in the next 5 to 10 years' time? What do you want to see?
Well, I would like to see each one of these community-based organizations get out on their own, figure out how to reach out to both governments, but also other NGOs, UN agencies, to get funding. Because let's be honest, I mean, we can only help them so far, and then they're going to have to figure out how to be self-sufficient. And I think a lot of that is about knowledge, how to write a proposal, how to go before a government official and negotiate for assistance. So I'm looking forward to seeing these communities become self-sufficient. And I'll just tell you, around the world, we do this all the time, and it works beautifully. I was just in Kenya after I went to West Africa, and I met with community groups that are now consulting, that have their own enterprises, that have split off from World Neighbors. They don't get any assistance from us anymore, but now they're doing what we did. They're teaching other people and getting paid for it. That's what I'd like to see happen in these countries.
Kate Schechter is the Chief Executive Officer of World Neighbors, an Oklahoma City-based nonprofit organization. She joined us live from the VOA studios here in Washington, D.C.